Blog Talk Radio.
That you're not loved.
You feel like all hope is gone. You've done everything you've tried to do to make it in this world, and look like nothing has come through for you. I come to encourage your heart on tonight to try Jesus. When you've tried the rest, come and try the best. Jesus Christ is the very best. God is the very best that he has to offer, and that is himself. He sacrificed his love for us by going through Calvary cross and being pierced in his side, being nailed his 2 feet together in his feet, being nailed in his hand, each one on the left side and the right side. And then it goes on beyond that. A crown of thorns were bestowed upon his head. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that blood and water just ran out of the body of Christ. And I tell you, we cannot even fathom what God could have went through on that cross. Hallelujah. We just know that it was an inhumane death. No one ever experienced on this planet. No one was even worthy. There was no one on this earth that was worthy, because it was some criteria that one had to meet in order to be able to sacrifice his life. And that, number one, was you had to be pure. You had to be sin-free, sinless. So there was no one to go to the cross but Jesus himself alone. This alone ought to inspire you to want to know more about Jesus Christ and his love for mankind. Hallelujah. And I just want you to know tonight, I would encourage you to get to know Jesus. You that don't know him, I would encourage you to get to know him in the pardon of your sins on tonight. This coming up, a holiday season where people will be drinking and driving. People will be on the rampage. The devil will be busy trying to seek out who he may devour. And we know that our adversary, which is Satan himself, his M.O. is to kill, steal, and to destroy. But God tell us that he came that we might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. And so before I go into any further ado, I would like those of you to go down in prayer with me to acknowledge the one, the only, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart on tonight of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Father God, we're coming from the north, south, east, and west, but we know that this world is not our home, God. We know that you have prepared and lied in wait a mansion, God, that's not built by the hand of man, but it's built by you, Jesus. And that mansion is prepared for those of us that are living according to God's guidelines, according to God's command. And he has bestowed in light and weight a mansion. Hallelujah. But God, until you come, we will be going to and fro as pilgrims through this barren land. Father God, on tonight, I am asking you, in serenity, to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a river word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. I'm asking you, Father God, to grace me your servant with words of encouragement, words of wisdom. Hallelujah to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. These and other prayer petitions we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. And we shall all in unity say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I will be with you tonight, 30 minutes on the clock. Hallelujah. And I'm just so excited because I just know that even though we are going winding down in the year of 2013 and we are coming into slowly but surely, the year of 2014. And we know that God has got laid out bigger and greater things for us. And if it ever was a time for us to be about our Father's business, the time is now. Hallelujah. It is time out for planned church. God is not something that we can toy around with. But God is a spiritual being. And God said those of us that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we're coming to you tonight in our sermon entitled, The Majestic of God. And I know I don't have long, but I'm going to give you as much as I can squeeze in this time that I have allotted. And we're going to read from our first key scripture, and it's coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 3 and 11 through 18. And it reads like this. We are being transformed into Christ's image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That scripture again is found in the law of 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. And we know that we have an author, and he's also a man of God by the name of Rick Warren. And he written a book, and the title was The Purpose-Driven Life. Hallelujah. And we know that it ran on the bestseller list. Its phenomenal appeal reminded us that believers and non-believers alike have a deep longing for a clear sense of purpose. We all want to know that our lives are involved in something worthwhile. Without a strong sense of calling and purpose, we find out that life is nothing more than routine business. And we know that being a follower of Jesus gives us a distinct advantage when it comes to having a sense of purpose. Hallelujah. And we know that when it's all said and done, we know that we can come to glorify him forever. And we know that glorifying God means putting his character, his will, and his ways into action. In all that we do, we know that the Apostle Paul reminded us, hallelujah, that we are being transformed into Christ's image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, the purpose of our lives is to let others see what God is like as they watch and experience his love through us. What a profound privilege it is to mirror God's love and his mercy, God's grace, and God's justice and righteousness to a world whose heart is vibrant to God's truth. We know that our purpose is to show others less of us and more of him. That's living on purpose with a purpose. So I let our lips and our lives express the holy gospel we profess. And let our words and our virtues shine to prove the doctrine of all divine. We know that the Christian purpose and only purpose is to promote God's plan. And we'll read the second key scripture for tonight. And we find out that Daniel's purpose in his heart, that he would not defile himself. That is found in the law of Daniel 1 and 18. And we know that Daniel was a captive in a foreign land. But he did not forget his religious principles. He could not in good conscience eat meat that had been dedicated to a pagan god and had not been slaughtered in accordance with the Hebrew law. He asked for a simple, hallelujah, fair vegetables and water, and the steward risked his life to honor his request. I believe he did this because Daniel's noble conduct has earned his respect. We know that the world looks with disdain on Christians who do not live what they say they believe. That's why we should remain true to our conviction. Consistency of character is what gained the respect of others. You will gain perfect respect when people see that you are faithful to God's word. They may see some who disagree, but they will know you love the Lord. So if you are living for Christ, I encourage you. You might lose some friends, but you won't lose their respect. Hallelujah. And we're reflecting on the meaning of the word majesty. We are reminded that in its current sense, it can be applied to no one other than God. For who other than God has the absolute sovereignty and power? The Psalms of David allow us to revisit words such as power, words such as glory, words such as praise and excellence. Every one of these words should lead us to meditate on God's goodness and his majesty. Although the assembly community worship God, our Lord, David also know him personally. Before we can take a sovereign God to the world, we must make sure that we have embraced him personally. There is no one more befitting phrase to glorify our God than how majestic, when we realize how majestic the name of God is. We are really saying how much we value God. When we realize how majestic the name of God is, we are saying that we realize how broad, how large, and how powerful Yahweh is. And in the law of Psalms 8:1, it reminds us of all in compassion presence of God's handiwork. A blazing sun, a shining moon, a starry night, and glowing grass. Although our God is intimately involved in the creation, he is more concerned about people than planets, more interested in souls than stars, more interested in us, hallelujah, than the universal. Without a doubt, this is why the psalm concludes exactly the way that it began. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When we talk about the majestic God, we must say hallelujah to your name and thank you for your love. For it is majestic God that makes our very existence possible. Hallelujah. And before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to demagnetize your spirit and infuse your mind. If I have brought unto you the divine word of truth, if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have a prayer petition, you want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are jubilant and encouraged to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. You are encouraged to make your corresponding attention, Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. email address, JaniceAllAboutGod@yahoo.com. Until we meet across these airways again, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
Thank you.